Chaitanya Charitamrita class, October 27, 2014. There's a new story from Antilila, chapter 12. It's from Madhyalila, chapter 19, I mentioned yesterday. The meeting of the two Mahaprabhus. There's two Mahaprabhus, and they're going to meet. Where will they meet? They met 500 years ago. Where? In Allahabad. At the Triveni. Triveni means three rivers coming together. Yamuna, Saraswati, and Ganga. Mahaprabhu, after spending Posh and Mrigashirsha month in the year of 1514 in Vrindavan, then in December or beginning of January, he walked to Allahabad to observe Kumbh Mela. So that's where we are. We're in Kumbh Mela. Has anyone ever been to Kumbh Mela? Have been? No? You're too much rasik. I've been to a couple of Kumbh Melas. Three Kumbh Melas. It's cold. It's really cold. I was there for 1 month, living in a tent. 1989. Triveni Upar Prabhur Vasagarastan Dvibai Vasakaila Prabhu Sanidhan. Mahaprabhu stayed at the confluence of the Ganga and Yamuna at a place called Triveni. As all the yatris do, everyone stays there at the Triveni on the sandy banks. Huge sand accommodates thousands and lakhs of people. And it used to be full of water thousands of years ago, but not much water now. But anyway, that's a convenient place for everyone to stay, to bathe in the rivers and the auspicious Mangala Tithis and this Tirtha Snan. So he stayed there in a tent or some makeshift house like everyone does. The two brothers, Rupa and Vallabha, were staying near Mahaprabhu. Se kale Vallabha bhatta rahaya dhaila gram Mahaprabhu aila shuni aila tanrastan. At that time, Sri Vallabha bhatta was staying at Aidhaila gram. When he heard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had arrived in Allahabad, he went to see him. Who is Vallabha Bhatta? Vallabha Bhatta is a great learned scholar of Vaishnavism. He was born in 1478. Lord Chaitanya was born in 1486. So he's about 8 years older than Lord Chaitanya. And a little bit older. And he's from the Vishnu Swami sect. He's the Acharya. Celebrated Acharya, the Vallabhacharya Sampradaya. This Sampradaya, Vallabhacharya, has great influence in Vrindavan, near Gokul, especially, that's their headquarters, and Bombay. Vallabhacharya wrote many books, including commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very famous and rasic, Subodhini Tika, and he wrote a commentary on Vedanta Sutra called his Anubhashya. And he wrote 16 short works called Sodasha Granta. So his village where he was staying was Aidhaila Gram, near the confluence of the Ganga and Jamuna, on the other side from Allahabad or Prayag. And there's a temple of Lord Vishnu there in that village, which is being served by the Vallabha Sampradaya. It's Prabhupada's commentary. So now Vallabhacharya, he came there across the river to meet Lord Chaitanya at the Triveni. Teno dandavata kaila prabhu kaila lingan dui jane krishna katha haila kataksham. Vallabhacharya offered Mahaprabhu his obeisances, dandavats, and the Lord embraced him. After that, they discussed Krishna katha for some time. Krishna kataya prabhu Mahaprem Utaila Utalila Bhattar Sankoche Prabhu Samvarana Kaila. Mahaprabhu felt great ecstatic love when they began describing Krishna. Maha Prema Utalila, 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 arose, great sentiments of love arose in the heart of Lord Chaitanya when he was discussing Hari Katha with such a rasic Vaishnava, Vallabhacharya. That verse is there in Gita, that this is the Leela to explain that tattva. It's the ninth chapter of Gita. Machita matkata pranas bodhiyantas parasparam katayantas chamant ityam tushanti cha ramanti cha tushanti cha ramanti cha machita matkata prana bodhiyantas parasparam. When devotees get together and talk Krishna katha, they feel tushta and ramanti. They feel great satisfaction and great joy and delight in their hearts. So what to speak of Vallabhacharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu checked his feelings because he felt shy before his elder Vallabhacharya, Vallabhabhata, who was 8 years his senior. Antare Gar, just like Krishna feels shy with Balaram. And Balaram is only 1 year older than Krishna. So this is natural to feel shy in the presence of superiors. So he was rather shy, so he restrained his ecstasies. Antare gara gara prema nahi samvaran deki chamatkara haila balava batera man. Although Mahaprabhu tried his best to restrain his ecstatic symptoms from being visible to Vallabhabhata, he could not check it, and Vallabhacharya, witnessing all these ecstasies, was rather chamatkar. He was astonished. I am speaking Gita, he's listening. He's speaking Hari Gita, I'm listening. I'm relishing, I'm enjoying, but this person, when he hears Hari Gita, he's going into ecstasy. He's trembling, his hair is standing on end, he's crying. It's significantly affecting this person, this Chaitanya. Tabe bata Mahaprabhure Nirman Chana Kaila Mahaprabhu Dui Bhai Tinhare Milaya. Thereafter, Vallabhabhata invited Mahaprabhu for lunch, and the Lord Mahaprabhu introduced the brothers Rupa and Vallabha to him. So now they're invited to lunch, and then he's introducing them. Dui Bhai Dura Haite Bhumite Podiya Bhatte Dandavata Kaila Ati Ninahana. From a distance, Rupa and his brother Anupam, they offered dandavats, fell on the ground, and offered obeisances to Vallabhabhata with great humility. Bhatta Mili Bhari Yai Dunhe Palaya Dure Aspriśya Pamara Muni Na Chuniha More. When Vallabhacharya walked towards Rupa and Anupam, they ran away to a more distant place. Rupa Goswami, because Vallabhacharya could recognize by the bodily symptoms and bodily markings of Anupam and Rupa that they were high-class cultured Brahmins. Their nose, their eyes, their forms, their effulgence, their skin tone, their demeanor, their prabhav, it all indicated they were very elevated, aristocratic, educated personalities, which they were and are. So he was, after they showed so much humility, and even at a distant place, they fell bhumite, they fell on the ground to show their respect and great honor for their Gurujana. He's their Gurujana, he's their senior elder. And then he thought, these are not ordinary personalities. These are like my equals, maybe slightly younger. So the father will embrace his child or his grandchild. The duty of the father is to show affection and embrace the junior. The junior's duty is to show respect and humility before the senior. It's not that the junior runs up to the senior, "Hey dad, how's it going? Hey granddad." No, first he approaches with great humility. Then, if the father or grandfather wants to extend his love, sons and fathers may be different, but this is not even family members. So the senior, Vallabhacharya is approaching them to obviously embrace them or show some acceptance and recognition of their friendly gesture of humility. But when they saw that he's approaching him, then they backed up to an even more distant place. And then Rupa Goswami said, Asparsha, I don't touch me, I'm untouchable. Pamara Muni, I am untouchable and most sinful. Please do not touch me, he's saying. Bhattara Vismaya Haila Prabhur Harshaman Bhattare Kahila Prabhu Tanra Vivaran. Vallabhacharya was very much surprised at this. But in his mind, Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see the humble behavior of Rupa and Anupam. And therefore, Mahaprabhu started describing the character and the nature of this Rupa Goswami, who's saying that he's fallen, he's pamar, he's sinful, and he's untouchable, aspriśya. So because now Vallabha is a little bewildered. They're here with this Bengali Brahmin, this great effulgent sannyasi Brahmin from Bengal, Sri Chaitanya, Krishna Chaitanya. They're his associates, they're with him, they're living with him. So they're not ordinary personalities. They don't, by their association or whom they're living with, nor by their bodily characteristics or appearance. So they're showing me all the humility of a cultured junior to a senior. But at the same time, when I approach them to extend my love or my blessings, then they back up and say, we're untouchable. We're sinful. But their faces are radiant and pure and effulgent with spiritual realization. How can you be sinful and have such a face? It's not possible. And how can you say you're low and you're fallen when you have such exalted characteristics? So now Mahaprabhu says, listen, so Vallabhacharya, you see the camera on his face, he's a little bewildered, he's confused, what's going on here? So to alleviate his distressed mind and his confused mind, and Lord Chaitanya says, listen. Lord Chaitanya says, Inho nasparshya, inho jati atihina. Vaidika yagika tumi kulina pravina. Mahaprabhu said, don't, wait, Vallabha, don't touch him, for he belongs to a very low caste. You're a Vaidika and a Yagika. You're a follower of the Vedic principles, and you're a well-experienced performer of Yagya. You're a Yagika and a Vaidika. You also belong to the aristocracy. I already established that Rupa Goswami was not less. He was all the things that Lord Chaitanya is saying to glorify Vallabha and to distinguish him as something special, that you're learned in all the yagyas and pujas, and you know all the Vedic principles and Vedas, and your aristocratic high birth as a Brahmin. So it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek what Lord Chaitanya is saying. Then he says, so meanwhile, while this is being said, Rupa Goswami and his brother Anupam are just chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Upamshu Japa, very quietly chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. Dunhara Mukhe Nirantara Krishna Nam Shuni Batakahe Prabhura Kichu Ingita Bangijani. Bangijani. Hearing the holy name being constantly vibrated by these two brothers, Rupa and Anupam, Vallabhacharya could understand what Mahaprabhu was hinting at. In other words, again, it's Parokshavad. Mahaprabhu is saying, well, they're very fallen. All they do is chant the holy name day and night. So now Vallabhacharya is saying, yes, I understand now how fallen they are. So now he starts to think, maybe Mahaprabhu is teasing me, or maybe testing me. So then So now the dialogue goes on between Vallabha Bhatta and Mahaprabhu. Dunhara muke krishnanam kari kariche nartan edui adam nahi haya sarvottam. They're not adam, they're sarvottam, sarva uttam. Of all, among all beings, of all human beings, they are uttam, they are topmost. Uttamadikari. Say uttam bhagavat, uttam bhagavat. The topmost devotee of the Lord, uttam, or bhagavat uttama. Bhagavat uttama. So there's, you're saying, edui adam? They are not adam, they are not fallen or lowly placed. They're actually the best of everyone. Mahaprabhu, since these two, Rupa and Anupam, are chanting the holy name of Krishna constantly, how can they be aspriṣya and untouchable? On the contrary, they are sarvottam, the most exalted. And that was his statement from his own realization, observation, and perception. Now, as a great pundit and a great scholar and acharya of an entire sampradaya, Vallabha cites the Mukhya Pramana of Srimad Bhagavatam to reinforce and back up his personal statement. 3.33.7 Vallabha Bhatta said, Aho Bhatta Swavacho no Swapacho to Gariyan Yas Jigvagre Vartate Namatubhyam Te pastapaste juhuvu sansnurarya Brahmanuchur namagrinanti yete, says in the Bhagavatam, Kapila Muni, or I'm not sure who's speaking actually, third canto. My dear Lord, one who always keeps your holy name on his tongue becomes greater than an initiated Brahmin. Although he may be born in family of dog eaters, Chandala, Swapacho, and therefore by material calculation be the lowest among men in the society, still he's glorious because he's always chanting Krishna Nam. This is the wonderful effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord. What is the conclusion? The conclusion is that if one is chanting the holy name of the Lord constantly, that proves that in his purva janama, in his prior life, he's already performed all kinds of austerities and great sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas. He has already taken bath and he's done all the yajnas, he's done all the tirtha yatras and tirtha snans. He's taken all the baths in the holy places, pilgrimage. And he studied all the Vedas, and he's actually an Aryan. So all of that is indicated if someone is chanting the holy name of the Lord constantly, irregardless of his dosh, his janam dosh, or deficiency or fault of a low birth as a dog eater, like a Korean person in Korea and China, all these places, many places they eat the dog. And such people are also here in India, they eat the dog. But not in Vrindavan, unfortunately. There's so many dogs. Should bring over some Koreans, they would have a big feast over here. Of course, they're dom dogs, so we don't want to wish any ill of them. They're Krishna's holy dogs, and they attend the artiks, and they chant in the artik and whatnot. There's different dogs we've seen. I know one dog at the Sangam, he's, I guess he got liberation or so. I don't see him these days. But he used to chant clearly, many, many witnesses, including myself, he would chant Radhe Radhe, the dog at the Sangam. You can ask any of the Brahmins. I call him Bhakta Dog. I used to feed him. And I would say, Bhakta Dog. I would speak to him. I'd say, chant, chant. He'd go, oh, oh. And then he would keep doing that. Oh, and also he'd go, Radhe, Radhe. I'd go, Radhe. Clearly it would come out, clearly. I said, did you hear that? And they said, he's saying Radhe. It's not roof, roof. It's not, you have to stretch your imagination. Well, I think maybe, or yeah, I guess so, or not really. It's he's barking. He's simply woof, woof. No, he starts off, you know, ah, 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 Radhe, Radhe. He's trying to say Radhe. He's trying. And then I was kept encouraging him. And by the fourth or fifth time, he said, Radhe! Like that. It's a fact. I swear on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So these are not ordinary dogs. There's something extraordinary. And this Prachin Radha Gopinath temple here, where Nityananda Baitak, naturally, Janava sat at the feet of Gopinath and Nityananda sat at the feet of Gopinath. The Prachin Gopinath is where Nityananda sat. That's the oldest original one established by the Gopinath Mandir to commemorate the visit of the original Gopinath who left in 15 or 16, maybe. In 1670 he left Vrindavan to avoid the Mughals' attack on Vrindavan temples and deities, and he and Govindaji and Madan Mohan, etc., they came straight to Radha Kund. When Krishna's in trouble, he takes shelter of Radharani. When Krishna's in trouble, he takes shelter of Radharani, because, you know, Gopinath and Radharani came later. First Govindaji is no Radharani, Madan Mohan no Radharani, Gopinath no Radharani. They came later. So when the Mughals attacked, then they all ran to Radharani. Radharani, oh Radha Sarkar, oh Radha Vrindavaneshwari. They came here. Then they went from here, they went to Kamban, took shelter of Vrindadevi, or she was carried there also. And they stayed in Kamban, then they went to Jayapur, then later when the Jayapur princess married the prince of Karoli, then she was very attached to this deity, Madan Mohan, so she asked her father for this charity. Please give me this gem of Madan Mohan to take with me to my husband's house in Karoli. So Madan Mohan went as a wedding gift. Very loving devotee, I mean loving lord. He accompanied the princess who became the wife of the prince of Karoli, and I think maybe you've seen Madan Mohan in Karoli. How many have seen? You've seen. So the deities that came here. So I don't know how I got there, but anyway, let's. It's all transcendental. So there, oh, we're just talking about the situation here. So now, he recited this verse that if you know. So now, when Lord Chaitanya hears that Vallabhacharya is accepting and realizing, actually, although the devotees were saying I'm very low and Pamar and sinful and fallen, Vallabhacharya saw through the whole thing, even though Rupa Goswami said it, and then Mahaprabhu in jest, he repeated the same thing. Oh no, don't touch them. They're really fallen. You don't know how fallen they are. And then Vallabhacharya said, okay, wait a minute. He says he's fallen, and Mahaprabhu, but the way he's saying it, and who he's saying it to, and who's saying he's fallen, it doesn't add up. He doesn't look fallen, he doesn't look sinful, he looks rather exalted. And even if he is all that, which he doesn't look like that, but just say he is, maybe he's a good looking chandala. He's a chandala with all good features, by chance. But still, the distinctive characteristic is that holy name is just rushing out of his mouth like the continuous flow of the Ganga to Ganga Sagar. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. So that alone, that makes him the topmost of men, Sarvottam. That alone. So you, Rupa Goswami, you can't fool me. Mahaprabhu, you can't fool me. I see through it now. Shuni Mahaprabhu Tanre Bahu Prasham Shila Prima Vishtahana Shloka Parite Lagila. Mahaprabhu is very pleased to hear Vallabha quoting the Shastras about the position of a devotee. The Lord praised him personally, and feeling ecstatic love for Godhead, love of Godhead. Then Mahaprabhu started chanting verses on the same point. Shushi Sad Bhakti Deep Tangi Dagda Durjati Kamasha Shwapakopi Budhe Shlagyo Navedagyo Pinastika Nastik Durjati Dagda Shwapako. Mahaprabhu said, a person who has pure character, who has the pure characteristics of a Brahmin, which is like due to devotional service, due to bhakti, which is like a blazing fire burning to ashes all the sinful reactions of past lives, he is certainly saved from the consequences of sinful acts. That means his janam dosha, such as taking birth in a lower family. Even though he may be born in a family of dog-eaters, he is recognized by learned scholars. But although a person may be a learned scholar in Vedic knowledge, he is not recognized if he's an atheist. Then many of the Kaivalyavadis and Advaitins and Shankarites and just Vedic scholars, they know Sanskrit and they know Vedanta. But if you ask them, who is God? There's no God. God doesn't exist. God is, I'm God, you're God, we're all God. Namo Narayan. So that's basically Gnostic. That means Gnostic. He used the word Gnostic, atheist. So this is a verse from Hari Bhakti Sudodaya by Vyasadeva. And there's actually quotes two verses here, maybe more. Quotes two. Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya, Prabhupada quotes this verse also in his verse book. Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastram Japastapa Apranasyeva Dehasya Mandanam Lakaranjanam. For a person who has no bhakti, birth in a great family or nation, knowledge of revealed scriptures, performance of austerities and penance, and chanting Vedic mantras are like ornaments on a dead body. What good is a diamond necklace on a stiff? Stiff means a dead body. What good are ruby earrings on a dead body? What good is a sapphire bangle and 10 gold bangles on the arm of a dead woman? Useless decorations. Then he goes on. Such ornaments simply serve the concocted pleasures of the general populace. Prabhura Premavesha Ara Prabhava Bhakti Sar Sondaryadi Deki Bhatter Haila Chamatkar. When Vallabhata Acharya saw Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love, he was very much astonished. Prabhu Premavesh Prabhav Bhakti Sar. The influence of the essence, the Prabhav Bhakti Sar, the influence, the power and influence and reverberation effect and resounding effect of his devotion. He was astonished. And then he saw his beauty. He was also astonished by the Lord's knowledge of the essence of bhakti, as well as his personal beauty and influence. Sondar Yadi Dehi Bhaktara Chamatkar. So he knew. So these are all, of course, Aishvaryas or opulences. Beauty is an Aishvarya, which astonishes people. And the wealth, another Aishvarya, wealth is knowledge. If one has tremendous knowledge, it also astonishes people. So, and if one has great influence because of his special charisma, or in this case his bhakti sar, prabhav, the special influence due to his devotional love of God, that spiritual charisma, then these three opulences create an astonishment in the mind and eyes of an onlooker or observer. So all that is being seen and observed in Mahaprabhu. Astonishing Sondarya Chamatkar, astonishing beauty. Chamatkara Bhakti Sar, astonishing essence, essential bhakti and with so much power. An astonishing knowledge of the Shastras. Sagane Prabhure Bhatta Nokate Chadana Bhikshadite Nijagare Chalila Lana. Remember how this story is going. Mahaprabhu has arrived in Allahabad, he sang in the Triveni with Rupan and Anupam during Kumbh Mela. And Vallabhacharya lives across the Ganga and Idilagram, and he's heard, oh, the great sannyasi, a great preacher, pracharak of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, great Vaishnava sannyasi, Brahman, from Jagannath Mishra's line, he has come to Allahabad. Oh, let me, and because Vallabhacharya is a Grihastha. And in Vedic Dharma and culture and society, Grihastha, it is his good fortune and his good blessing to invite a Brahmin sannyasi. What to speak of Brahmin, what to speak of a sannyasi. So Vallabhacharya, of course, is also a Brahmin, but he's not a sannyasi. So in that regard, a Varna, he's in a lower Varna, because he's Grihastha, not sannyasi. And even though he's elder, he's elderly by 8 years. He's born in 1478. But by position in society, he's considered lower because he's Grihastha. They're both pandits. They're both acharyas. Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, and Vallabhata Pandit. But he's showing the proper etiquette to receive, because he lives there, and he lives in Idilagram. It's his home. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a paribrajak sannyasi, a wandering mendicant. So he won't have any place really to eat. And his niyam, his rule, is to only eat in a Brahmin's house. So he's thinking, I'm a Brahmin, I'm a pure Brahmin, and it'll be my good fortune for his lotus feet to grace my house. It'll be my good fortune to serve him. And I'd be truly blessed if he takes grains from my hand. So he's come there. He's invited the Lord to cross the river, which means by boat. But before they could cross the river, this whole interlude happened between Vallabha and Rupa and Anupam, paying obeisances in this whole dialogue. So just within, as soon as they met, they didn't talk about business. When Vallabhacharya met Mahaprabhu, they didn't talk about families, they didn't talk about politics, they didn't talk about sports, they didn't talk about this institution or that institution, they didn't talk about this devotee or that devotee. What did they talk about? Krishna Katha. Anandita. They're both very blissful. And then, listening to all that, then Rupa Nanupam, then when they were kind of recognized, they paid obeisances at a distant place. So now, back to the, because Vallabha came to invite Mahaprabhu for lunch. So everyone's thinking, well, what about lunch? You got lost in the Harikata. You got lost in your introduction. Vallabhacharya got lost in Harikata with Mahaprabhu. Then he got lost in his introduction and overwhelming astonishment at observing the extraordinary behavior of the pure devotees, Rupa Goswami and Anupam, his brother. And then he got lost in the dialogue on philosophy and the tattva of who is high and who is worshipable with Lord Chaitanya. Now, by the way, I came here to invite you for lunch. I almost forgot. So that's what this verse said. Vallabhacharya then put Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates aboard a boat, and he took them to his own place across the river to offer them prasad, bhiksha, because he's a Tridandi bhiksha. One, he's not actually Tridandi bhiksha, he's Ekdanda. Lord Chaitanya had Ekdanda, but he's a bhiksha. Bhiksha means a beggar. He has nothing, no house, no food, no relatives, no anything. He just has the Lord in his heart. The only wealth of the bhikshari or the beggar is his relation, is Bhagavan Sambandha. So we'll continue tomorrow how they're crossing the Yamuna and going for the lunch engagement. Vallabhacharya and Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Shri Radhe, Radhe.